Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers lost to the Pirates again, and we have some important questions such as why, how, and what the heck. Let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time watching or listening, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio. We are doing a split episode today. Vince was at the game on Tuesday night, and so he is currently sitting in traffic somewhere in LA, and I am recording my half of the podcast. He will be with you for the second half. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box in the locker room. So while we're not quite insiders, we do bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use code Locked On at checkout. All right, let's talk about the Dodgers. The Dodgers lost 5-3 to the Pirates. The game kind of followed the same script as Monday night's game, at least early on. Julio Urias put the Dodgers in a 4-0 hole on the backs of two home runs by the Pirates. Only difference being Buehler's were a 3-run homer and a solo homer in the second and third innings, I think. Julio's were two-run homers in the first and second innings. End result was the same. Dodgers down 4-0. And then the Dodgers did the same thing. They clawed back to within 4-3. Unfortunately, that's where the similarities stopped. The Dodgers didn't have the same late season heroics that they had on Monday before Craig Kimbrell's implosion. The Dodgers went down kind of with a whimper in the eighth and the ninth inning. And that was it. They lost the series to the Pirates. They now have officially lost both series to the Pirates. I just saw on Twitter, the Dodgers have the best run differential in baseball. The Pirates have the worst. And somehow the Dodgers are now 1-4 against the Pirates this year. The series finale and season finale with the Pirates is today, Wednesday, early start, 5:10 p.m., I believe. And Dodgers trying to salvage a win in this series. But they end May on a low note, back-to-back losses to a bad team. And, you know, there's a lot of things to talk about. But one of the things that really jumps out at me about this, I don't know, is Kevin Pillar. And he's kind of the Bruno of, you know, we don't talk about Kevin. No. But Kevin Pillar started again. And, you know, I'm not going to pick on Kevin Pillar. He's put in a tough situation to play for a major league team with World Series aspirations while being bad at baseball. But, you know, it is what it is. And it's why I have said repeatedly that the best version of this Dodgers team includes a healthy and productive Max Muncy. And as we've seen the last couple of days, also Cody Bellinger. Right now, the Dodgers have Edwin Rios and Kevin Pillar in the lineup every day because Cody Bellinger and Max Muncy are down. Hopefully Bellinger is going to be back today on Wednesday. Hopefully it was just a couple days off for that adductor strain. Dave Roberts said it was feeling 90% and that he expects Cody back in the lineup on Wednesday, which will be good. That probably gets Pillar out of the starting lineup at least. But even then, you know, having him as one of your bench guys, and yeah, he was doing really well in Oklahoma City. And so I understand why people were kind of clamoring for him to get called up, but I've always focused kind of on one key thing, which is that Kevin Pillar hasn't been good at baseball in several years. And that seems to me like it's an important point. You know, yeah, hitting well in AAA is something, but if you look at his major league stats, okay, 2020, the shortened season, he was slightly above average offensively, a 106 OPS plus. 2019, 88. In fact, 2020, let's put it this way, that's the only season of his career that he was above average offensively. Last year, it was an 87. His career OPS plus is 88. Kevin Pillar can't hit. And yeah, he's got some power. He has 97 career homers. He hit 21 home runs in a season back in 2019. And yet, even with those 21 home runs, OPS plus 88, because his on-base percentage was 287. He didn't do much other than hit 21 home runs. And so he's not a good hitter. And he's not even he used to be a great fielder. He was a great defensive center fielder. Now he is a solid defensive left fielder. Nothing to write home about. Nothing terrible in left field. There's not that much value there. And, you know, when we talk about Oklahoma City, I'm going to tell you some guys who hit really well at Oklahoma City in 2021, last season. And tell me if you can find a common thread among these guys who hit well at Oklahoma City last year. Ronel Ravelo, Luke Raley, Steven Souza Jr., Zach Rex, Sheldon Noisy. Any of those things ring a bell? Oh, yeah. They all sucked in the big leagues. I'm sure they're nice guys. I've never talked to any of them. Oh no, Zach Rex was on our podcast. He's a super nice guy. I like Zach Rex a lot. You know, not to say that they aren't, I'm not even saying they don't have potential, those guys. But there's a huge gap between Oklahoma City and the Los Angeles Dodgers. And Kevin Pillar, yeah, he's been pressed into action right now. But what we're seeing is that he needs to be back in Oklahoma City as soon as possible. And as we've discussed before, that's easier said than done because he can't be optioned. He's a veteran. He can't be optioned. And so in order to send him back to the minors, they have to DFA him, which also has the advantage of getting him off the 40-man roster. There's the chance that they lose him when they DFA him if somebody claims him, or he could even refuse the outright assignment to AAA. He seems to like being in the Dodgers organization, so if he were to clear waivers, I think he'd probably accept the outright assignment. But it's not a sure thing that he'd even stay in the organization. But, you know, the Dodgers need healthy position players because right now what they have is guys like Kevin Pillar. And maybe Jake Lamb would be better. I don't know. Jake Lamb hasn't been good in years either. He at least had a swing change, something that we know he changed. Coming into this season, and so maybe he would fare better. But what we're seeing is Kevin Pillar, he's probably going to get a hit at some point, but it may even be a big hit. And, you know, he still has some power. He could run into something. But for the most part, I mean, he couldn't even take a walk when the pitcher threw ball four to bring Mookie Betts up with bases loaded. No, he swung at ball four instead and grounded out. Like, it's Kevin Pillar isn't doing it for me. And yeah, I'm not looking at small sample size. I'm not saying, oh, he's been bad in these three games, therefore he's bad. I'm saying, no, he's been bad for his entire career, therefore he's bad. That's what I'm basing him being bad on, is the fact that he's always been bad. He always will be bad. And Kevin Pillar, look up Kevin Pillar in the dictionary. It says bad next to it for the definition, I think. You got to get the fancy dictionary. Anyway, that's my Kevin Pillar thoughts. This game wasn't on him. It wasn't his fault the Dodgers lost. It didn't help that he, provided nothing and even actively killed a rally by swinging at ball four. But this game wasn't on him. If it was on anybody, it was Julio Urias for getting into the hole early. But overall, the offense just didn't perform. I am going to talk a little bit about the pitching from Julio when I come back. So I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's talk about Blue Nile. BlueNile.com. They are an online jeweler targeted at adults who like to buy jewelry. There's kind of two main reasons to buy jewelry, at least that Blue Nile focuses on. There's wedding jewelry, engagement rings, wedding bands, those things. And then there's just everyday fine jewelry. Sometimes, I'll tell you a secret for me. I don't buy flowers or jewelry for occasions like Mother's Day or birthday. I buy them on random days because then you can surprise somebody. Everybody expects these things on Mother's Day and their birthday and those things. Buying your special somebody jewelry just because, here's a Tuesday necklace. That's awesome. Blue Nile can help you with that. And if you're like me, Are you bad at picking out jewelry? I'm really bad at picking out jewelry. Well, Blue Nile has people to help you 24 hours a day online. You can go. They have jewelry experts ready via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. So make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use code Locked On. That's code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. All right. I want to thank you all again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We have an important favor to ask you. We've put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and don't like about Locked On Podcasts. Go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long, and everyone that completes a survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. Take our audience survey. Go to lockedonpodcasts.com/survey. Thank you for your help. All right. So as I mentioned, going to the break, a lot of this loss is on Julio, and not in a bad way. I mean, pitchers lose games. Pitchers struggle sometimes. Julio gave up two big home runs, and it's, you know, home runs happen, but one of them, the other run scored because of a leadoff walk. You can't walk the leadoff guy. We saw that with Buehler yesterday. Heck, we saw it with Kimbrel. He walked the leadoff guy and blew the save. Leadoff walks always seem to score, and they especially score when a guy a couple batters later hits a home run. And so, you know, I don't know why Julio has struggled against the Pirates this year, and we might never know because the Dodgers won't play the Pirates again. Newsflash, the Dodgers won't be meeting the Pirates in the postseason. If they do, you can pull this up and update me on Twitter. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Dodgers won't be facing the Pirates in the postseason. So we may never find out why Julio struggles against the Pirates this year. It's probably just a fluke, a coincidence, whatever. But it's frustrating as a fan to see a really good pitcher struggle against a really bad team. And not even like Ke'Bryan Hayes is a good hitter. Brian Reynolds was an all-star last year. This was Michael Chavis and Tucapito something something. I don't even know the guy's last name. And now he's homered off Buehler and Julio on back-to-back days for his only two career home runs. I'm sure that guy's a decent player, but it's frustrating as a fan to see that happen. And, you know, it's okay to get beat by a star, but to get beat by a nobody, I don't know, man. But it's one of my... One of the things I say a lot is the baseball season is long. Baseball teams play a lot of games, and even the best teams lose a lot of games every year. You know, even if the Dodgers go crazy, like I hope they will, and set a record for wins in a season for their franchise, they're still going to lose, you know, 50 something games this year. And that's a lot of times to get upset if you're going to get upset every time they lose. I recommend picking your spots. For me, my line, and I'm not going to tell you guys where your line is. My line is I don't get upset about games that until at least September, because then at least you know, okay, where are they in the pennant race? What do they need to do? October, all bets are off. I am way too emotionally invested in this Dodgers team in October. Longtime listeners will remember the episode I did right after game five of the 2019 NLDS. And I believe I cried a little bit on the podcast. You know, all bets are off then. But the reason I allow myself to get that invested in October is that I make sure to keep an even keel throughout the season. Because while, yes, one game could end up mattering, last year, if the Dodgers had won one or two games during the season that they lost, they would have at least tied the Giants and maybe beat the Giants, especially if one of those games came against the Giants. One game can matter a lot. In 2018, the Dodgers literally went to game 163. They finished the regular season tied with the Rockies and had to beat them in game 163. But most of the years, the Dodgers win the division pretty handily. The Dodgers are the best team in this division. Chances are they're going to win the division by 4 or 5 or 10 games. Even if it does come down to one game, it's not like we can pick and choose, you know, because every team loses so many games, even then you're going to have 10 or 15 or 20 games that you lose that you should have won. There's also going to be a handful at least that you should have lost, but you won instead. And those things generally even out. And that's why a team that is talent-wise about 105 win team is probably going to win about 105 games, even if it's not the exact 105 that you would have guessed or that you think they should have won. And so while this game was frustrating, I am doing this podcast with as much of a smile on my face as I ever put on my face, because it's baseball. We get to watch baseball. And the good thing about baseball is they play again. By the time you're listening to this, they play again in like 12 hours. So if that, so they're going to go out there, they're going to play again. Hopefully they're going to salvage a game here, get the momentum going, and then watch, they're going to go sweep the Mets, who are actually a good team. And we'll be back to thinking, wow, the Dodgers are unbeatable. And, you know, it's how baseball goes. It's how it has always gone, how it always will go. And so, like I said, I'm not going to tell you how to be a fan, but that's my approach, which is just relax, enjoy the season. And remember, we get these memories. We get the good and the bad, and you can't take that away from us. And come October, then we can be way too emotional about our team together. That's what I'm going to do. So thank you all for joining me. That's going to do it for me. Like I said, Vince will be here for the second half of this episode. I really appreciate you guys watching or listening every day. And Vince will be along in a minute.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Everything you could need in the world of sports and sports betting is right there at betonline.net. So head to the website today on your laptop or mobile device to learn more about the trends and learn more about the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, Vince here to close out the episode, and not much left to talk about, you know, another just ugly loss. It wasn't ugly so much in the nature of the loss or in, you know, the actual gameplay. There wasn't like a bunch of errors or anything like that, just a not fun loss. It was one of the more packed games of the season that I remember so far. In terms of, you know, it was packed since the beginning. Bobbleheads ran out earlier than normal from what I could tell. And, yeah, it was just, you know, a fun atmosphere. But, unfortunately, the Dodgers didn't provide a fun post-game atmosphere because there was no win to celebrate. But, as I usually do when the Dodgers have an ugly loss and I have a segment of my own to talk about, let's look at the minor leagues and we look at it with the lens of, we'll look at it first through the lens of Diego Cartaya, who was officially promoted to high A. He'll go from low A with Rancho to high A Great Lakes Loons. I believe I told you in the first month of the season that if you wanted to see Diego Cartaya and you lived in Southern California, now was the time because he would get promoted fairly soon. And now he has been promoted. And well, first I'll just talk about him and kind of, you know, what to expect from him. But also we had a question for a couple weeks ago when we put out a call for questions, and forgive me for whoever asked it. We didn't touch on it, but we also, and I don't remember who it was, but it had to do about Diego Cartaya and Will Smith and who was more likely to have a position change. You know, the question kind of begging the greater question of, you know, what are the Dodgers going to do with both of these guys, assuming Diego Cartaya is ready in the next couple of years, and Will Smith will still have a couple of years left before he hits free agency. And I mean, on a surface level, it kind of, I don't know, with the DH, technically they wouldn't need one of them to change if they wanted them each in the lineup for the most part. Diego Cartaya is younger. He's bigger in terms of tall, you know, he's taller, so he could transition to first base, but you already have somebody at first base in Freddie Freeman. I'm not sure if Diego can play third base or anywhere else. So just on the surface level question, you know, it would appear that Will Smith has a better chance of changing positions just for the simple fact that he's played the infield before. You know, he's played third base, I think maybe some second base at Louisville. You know, and the Dodgers would have an opening at third base after Justin Turner's gone. So if they really wanted to, they could try to start making that transition, especially if they think that Diego's going to be ready by next season or even, you know, late next season. But either way, it's a, you know, we're far enough away from that happening to where it's not a pressing question, obviously, but, you know, just a question that was put out there that I think right now it's Will Smith has a better chance of changing positions because he has a body more conducive to multiple positions. He could play second, he could play third, and he has played third before, whereas Diego Cartay, as far as I know, has not played first or third, at least on a professional setting, so that would take some changing. And like I said, first base, Freddie Freeman's around for the next five seasons after this season, so I don't think changing anybody to first base would really help out at this point. But like I said, with the DH, in theory, the Dodgers could get both those guys in the lineup if they really wanted to. But sticking with Cartaya, just a couple of notes here from our buddy Future Dodgers, who we'll have on in about 7 weeks or so after the MLB draft. Diego Cartaya played 64 games, 300 plate appearances in low A with the Quakes during his age 19-20 seasons. Finished with a slash line of 278, 407, 580 with 19 home runs and 153 WRC plus. He noted that it's the highest WRC plus of any player below the age of 27 with at least 300 plus plate appearances at low A over the last 2 years. And then went on to add, and since 2013, players that had a WRC plus in low A higher than 150 at age 20 or younger. Some of those names, not all of them, some of those names, Bo Bichette, Byron Buxton, Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, Fernando Tatis Jr., Alec Thomas, who we just saw with the D-backs, and Vlad Jr. So not a bad group to be lumped in with. There are some names there, Greg Bird, Rosel Herrera, Joey Gallo, Eloy Jimenez. Some of those guys good. Some of those guys either haven't reached the majors or have reached majors but don't have quite have the impact as the other guys. But either way, a good mix to be part of. Along with Cartaya, Alex DeJesus also promoted up to Great Lakes. He actually hit a home run in his first game with the Loons. So another name to keep an eye out for. Maybe not for this year, obviously, but just in the future. Keep an eye out there. And then Leonel Valera went from Great Lakes to Tulsa. I believe that was the majority of the movement that happened, at least on Tuesday. There's been some movement in the past few weeks in terms of guys getting promoted and called up. But yeah, I mean, that's where we're at in terms of Diego Cartaya and the other guys down in the bottom in terms of, you know, how the Dodgers are doing. I saw a thread on Twitter and it basically went through highest WRC plus on the season by minor league level and age. So I think the high A one was Diego Cartaya was up there in terms of WRC plus. When you go to high A, I believe it was Eddie's Leonard was up there. Jorge Vivas, one of those guys. You had Miguel Vargas in AAA and, you know, a bunch of guys, Dodger guys out there. Always good to see. And, you know, just remind you that, you know, while we're talking about these losses, to the Pirates, that the Dodgers, you know, they still have some talent down there in the future. We're not completely into the future after a couple losses to the Pirates, but, you know, just it's fun to take a look down there and see what's going on. Bobby Miller had his longest outing of the season, I think a few days ago, up over there in AA, pitched into the sixth inning. He's been looking really good, continues to show why he could force himself to the team this year at some point, but he's definitely could find himself and definitely will find himself in the majors next year. since moving to Double A, he's, I think his ERA is at 4.6 now, or he's been at Double A, but he has an ERA of 4.6. But that's inflated by like two or three bad starts. He's had multiple good starts, six innings last one, five strikeouts, two earned runs. So we check on Michael Bush, who got moved to Triple A not that long ago. He's finding his way there. He's had a couple hits in a few games there. Had a 4-for-4 night last week. So, and then a couple hits the last two nights. So he's a guy that's finding his footing over there in Triple A. And, you know, another guy that we could potentially see this season, depending on injuries and everything else. Miguel Vargas, like I mentioned, is thoroughly dominating over there in Triple A now since he got, or yeah, in Triple A. Hitting 290 with 875 OPS, 7 home runs, 30 RBI. So good look for him in terms of, you know, another guy that we could potentially see this year. Now, you know, Jeff talked about Kevin Pillar in the first part of the episode. And that's kind of where, when we talked about Pillar and Jake Lamb and, you know, who could come up for the Dodgers. There's a reason that Pillar's up, because the Dodgers don't have any, you know, outfielders that are ready to go in terms of minor leaguers that are on the cusp of being able to handle major league pitching. Their top prospect that can play outfield is Andy Pajes, who's currently in Double A. Definitely won't be ready to face major league pitching this year, or at least, you know, hasn't shown enough to warrant saying that he'd be able to come up and handle major league pitching. So it's one of those where we're you know, Pillar's the guy for now, and that's just kind of the way they got to go about it. And then they'll, you know, have to figure it out. If Pillar moves, let's just say, you know, Muncy's out for longer, maybe Bellinger doesn't quite recuperate, and they end up having to go longer without those guys. You know, is Kevin Pillar a long-term thing? I don't know, but he's definitely a guy that is currently there, and we'll have to step up if in order for the Dodgers to, you know, do what they want to do. But, you know, you just look at down in the minors, there's a lot of talent there. Not so much necessarily that's going to help this year, but also stuff that or guys that could help out if the Dodgers end up trading and going that route and you know, wanting to get better from trade. So we'll see what happens there. But just real quick, just to kind of go through transitioning a little bit into Mookie Betts and just the way that he hit in the month of May. I mean, you look at all players in the month of May, there's only one player that had a higher OPS in the month of May, and that was Paul Goldschmidt. He had a 1.288 OPS in the month of May. Mookie Betts, 1.157. There was no players that had more home runs than Mookie Betts in the month of May. There was one guy that was tied, and that was Aaron Judge. They both hit 12 home runs in the month of May. Mookie Betts was fifth in RBIs in the month of May, with, you know, behind Goldschmidt, who was good the entire month. Francisco Lindor, good the entire month. Trevor Story, who had a hot week or so, but he's up there. And then Pete Alonso. And then Mookie Betts, in terms of doubles as well, was top 10 in doubles by all players in the month of May. I believe second or top 10 in base hits as well. So it was just one of those months. He broke the record for extra base hits, broke Jackie Robinson's record, 22 extra base hits in the month. He tied Roy Campanella for most home runs in the month of May in Dodgers franchise history. And, you know, he scored 31 runs, 31 days, 31 runs. I'm sure he played in 28 games, which means the Dodgers had probably 30, 31 games. So just, we've talked a lot about Mookie Betts in the last few days, but, you know, just another reminder that how good Mookie Betts was, and he's been on fire. I believe he was Pedro Martinez's daddy for the month of May on the MLB on TBS show. So he's getting recognized around. And then there's been a few articles of, you know, is Mookie Betts back? I've seen a few tweets of, would you take Mookie Betts over so-and-so for the next 10 years? Whatever the case is, all the conversations about Mookie Betts are once again about him being one of the best players in all of baseball. And that's fun to watch. So, and real quick, too, on that point is, I forget who I talked to somebody earlier this year after Freddie was getting all the Freddie chants almost every time he came to the plate. And, you know, someone said, I wonder if Mookie Betts feels jealous that Freddie's getting all these chants and all this attention. And, you know, I kind of said, well, you know, Mookie would have got this his first year with the Dodgers, but there was no fans in 2020. 2020 was his first year with the Dodgers. They didn't have any fans. He didn't get that, like, initial welcome his first season. And then 2021, it was limited fans early on. And the Dodgers were coming off a World Series championship. So, like, that kind of took away the buzz, specifically away from Mookie. But there was some Mookie chants going on last night. There's been some Mookie chants the last few nights. People are starting to remember and realize who Mookie Betts is. And he's going to get the love that he needs to. And he, you know, he gets his flowers just like everybody else. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. For your next listen, check out Locked On MLB with Paul Francis Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully. He's covering the biggest stories around the league with humor, passion, and a unique perspective. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. If you want to continue to find us, you can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. You can find us on YouTube, searching Locked On Dodgers. You can find us wherever you get podcasts. If you're not listening every day, try to bump it up an extra day or two in the week. That'll help us out. DMs are open on our Twitter and Instagram, Locked On Dodgers, on Jeff's Twitter at Snydog, on my Twitter at Vince Samperio. Get a hold of us like that. You can get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can get a hold of us via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.